People in southern Labrador are looking ahead these days to both a federal and a provincial election. This week, though, they're being asked to turn back the clock and reflect on their roots. A researcher is in the region to ask people for their thoughts on their identity and their culture, particularly as it relates to their Métis ancestry. John Kennedy is an anthropologist, and he joins me this morning. Good morning, John Kennedy.
Yes, good morning.
I understand you're on your way to southern Labrador right now.
I am. I'm crossing the strait today.
Well, just tell us briefly about your interest in that part of our province, southern Labrador.
Well, Bernice, my interest in southern Labrador actually began in 1979, but I had conducted previous research in northern Labrador beginning in 1971. I lived in Mikovic for 13 months in 71-72, and then I went back to Memorial, where I didn't know that I would end up teaching, but I did begin teaching in 1973. And at the time, there was a course on Newfoundland, which used to spend a week at the end of it on Labrador. And there was no course on Labrador, so I proposed, once I started teaching in the fall of 73, I proposed the next year a course on Labrador. But I found it very frustrating insofar as there was really no information on southern Labrador at that time. I would use what little was available, and I would have students from that region that would come and would wonder about their own past and so on. So in any event, in 1979, I headed off to do my own work in southern Labrador, beginning in Lodge Bay, and then subsequently spent time in Port Hope and Cartwright, and ultimately pulled all that stuff together into a couple of books, one on Lodge Bay and another on the whole region, which was published by the University of Toronto Press in 1995. It's that book, that second book, that I'm now revising under the Cura project that I'm a member of.
Well, tell us about the focus of your latest work in southern Labrador.
Well, I have two foci, essentially, two focuses. One has been the merchant history of the region. I've tried to piece together in the new version of the book. I've written a large and rather unfortunately detailed chapter based on research largely in England that tries to better understand exactly who the players were in terms of the merchant fishery of Labrador. This is, of course, during the period following the end of New France and the Treaty of Paris in 1763. So my chapter basically takes over with the beginning of the British - Newfoundland, ultimately administration of Labrador in 1763. And that chapter goes for approximately 100 years during the British fishery. And that part of my work is able, really, for the first time, to identify most of the key players. It's an extremely complicated history. At the time I started off, I, like everyone else who's written on Labrador, and I could name names, but I won't out of respect, was confused by who these people were. Who was Arthur Hunt? Who were the many Andrew Pinsons? Because if one looks at the Labrador literature, you find, of course, Andrew Pinson was aligned with a man by the name of John Noble. There turn out to be two John Nobles. But anyway, who was Cartwright's adversary when George Cartwright was in southern Labrador? But it turns out that there are three generations of these merchants, and I trace their genealogies and in greater detail than has yet actually appeared in all of the literature of Newfoundland and Labrador, because for the first time we actually know who the characters are. What I had originally started out, why I was interested in the merchants, was really twofold. I had, of course, read back in the 80s all of Captain Cartwright's three-volume diary, and I had written about that in the earlier version, Peoples of the Bays and Headlands, which U of T put out in 95. But I thought I would find in the merchant records more Captain Cartwright diaries. Unfortunately, if they're there, I haven't yet found them. So I started out wanting more versions, textual descriptions of people in Labrador, but ended up having to be satisfied with essentially telling who the players were. So future generations of historians, if they're interested in Labrador or Labrador people who are able to gain the expertise to go and track these things down, may be able to find what Kennedy wasn't able to find. The second reason for interest in the merchants is is that these were the malls, if I may use that modern term. That is to say, the marketplaces where Inuit were attracted during the period of time from the 1770s, 80s, up until mid-19th century, up until the 1840s, 1850s. And they are described not by the merchants as being there, but by traveling missionaries. And so I thought if I could find the merchant records, I would have that window into that past. So that was the first and is the first focus of my work under the Cura Project. The second really was to a continuation of the work I began in Mikovic back in 71, and that is, you know, how people see themselves, their identity, their culture. And that's what I'm really going to be trying to find in the next few weeks during my trip, the upcoming trip in Labrador. I want to ask people more about how they see their identity now and what culture goes with that identity. And, of course, these will be done on an anonymous basis. I'm not mentioning names. I'm not in anything I write. They will remain anonymous. It will be just voices that describe how they see themselves.
And why is it so important to you to talk to people who are still living there in southern Labrador right now?
Well, that's a good question. I guess because they're there and because I started out years ago being interested in the region, I remain interested in Labrador. I know the communities have undergone considerable change. I've tracked and been back several times, and I've tried to track as best I can or could the changes in the fishery, obviously the demise of the cod fishery and its replacement by the shellfish fishery. And I realize there are other threats and other changes. The road itself is a change. The road I'll be driving on today is a change, which I actually never thought would occur when I was back. I didn't think there would be money, but I hadn't realized they would cobble together money from the agreements regarding the old coastal boats to afford the road and so on. So there's been lots of changes. I guess the short answer to your question is because they're there.
How can people get in touch with you if they want to be part of your study and your research?
Well, they will see me driving in a red rented car, perhaps. I will be starting in Mary's Harbor today, and I guess they can probably get through to me through my cell phone, perhaps, and that's it's 902-957-1522 is the number. I'm also on Gmail, kennedyjohnc@gmail.com. Those are two sort of electronic and or modern methods of getting through to me, but certainly if they see me, I want to talk with people, and I want to get some sort of understanding of what people are thinking today about identity and culture.
All right. I know you may have some limited cell coverage in southern Labrador.
That's true. You're right. I'm sorry. I forgot that before. Yes, you're quite right. Yeah.
So we'll definitely pass along the email address once again. That's kennedyjohnc@gmail.com, right?
That is correct. And, I want to talk with people.
All right. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for your interest.